Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, April 15 to 19. In over a five-day period, the convention brought together over 65,000 of our closest friends and featured keynotes and targeted sessions that were focused on topics to help future-proof your career. We had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Big thanks to ENCO and Benstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. Over the next several weeks, you'll have the opportunity to listen in on some of our conversations. In this fourth episode of the series, we hear the conversation I had with the CEO of Hubbard Radio, Ginny Hubbard. And as you'll hear her say, she is lucky to be part of the third generation of the Hubbard family, as her grandfather founded the company in 1923.
So Ginny, if you would just share, I mean, everyone knows who you are, but if you could just, your name and title and company.
My name is Ginny Hubbard Morris. I'm the CEO of Hubbard Radio. I am lucky enough to be a part of a third generation of broadcasters. Company was started by my grandfather in 1923.
Wow.
So we too are celebrating 100. And I'm happy to say that there is a portion of the fourth generation of family members entering the business, both on the TV and radio and corporate side. So that's kind of who I am.
You know, so many people say they have radio in their blood. You really do have
radio
and broadcasting.
When people ask me how I got into it, I say through the birth canal. Direct shot out. Yes.
And you're leading radio because that was a choice for you, wasn't it?
Sort of a choice. Once I got really intimately familiar with running a radio station, I had bounced around on the TV side of the business a little bit, and my siblings and I, we were all in our early 20s and trying to figure it all out. And one day my dad said, why don't you go try KSTP AM and see if you like it? I liked it.
And that's in Minneapolis?
It's in the Twin Cities. I never left. And that's when I knew that I wanted to spend the rest of my days working in this wonderful medium called radio.
And you have such a great vantage point, as you said, because you've certainly been exposed directly and indirectly to the television side. And we talk about the challenges we have on the audio side. There are a lot of challenges on the video side as well.
I think anybody that's in a traditional media is feeling challenged today. So, yes, we do have challenges on television. We do have challenges in radio. We also have great opportunities on all sides as well. We're also in the cable and satellite channel business with a company called The Reels Channel, which has great opportunity and challenge as well.
I bet. You know, you said you're celebrating 100 years. The NAB is celebrating 100 years of innovation. And is there any specific initiative going on at your company that you're most excited about right now?
In terms of the anniversary or just
development? Well, just an initiative and innovation.
There's a lot that we're excited about beyond just the programming and entertainment and news and service and local commitment that we've got. We're very vested in podcasting, and we've got some podcast initiatives that are going very well. We've got others that haven't gone so well, so
right.
We're excited about figuring out how to maximize that opportunity.
Is that a separate division, or is...
No, it's really integrated into what's happening in the local markets, and,
right.
and we've had our best success with people who maybe were on the radio or had another, had a built-in audience that we're now making available on a podcast platform. Joe Souchere in the Twin Cities, who had a radio show for 25 years. We just forged a partnership with Tom Bernard, who was on in the Twin Cities for at least 25 years, a lot
right.
more than that. And so he's got an audience, and he's got people that miss him on the radio, as did Joe. We've got a similar venture in St. Louis. with somebody who had been on the radio, and those are all going well. We're also very excited about Score North, which is a sports brand that is a digital-first sports brand in the Twin Cities that has really developed a tremendous audience in all things digital that you measure, blogging, podcasting,
right,
YouTube, and it is also lives on our AM radio station in the Twin Cities, but that's sort of a coincidence, and we had an AM, so we're putting that content on there, but everything is really designed to be digital first. Mm-hmm. And one of those podcasts, the Purple Daily, shows up in national rankers, so we're very excited about growing that initiative too, and if we can get it, kind of crack that code, possibly expand it to some of our other markets, but we really are learning our lessons.
So you're there. Not only attracting an audience, you're also, they're becoming profitable. You're involving advertisers
we're
in a big way.
We're involving advertisers in a big way. We can't quite say we're profitable, but we're getting a lot closer. We think that will happen in 23. And if that can happen, then we can have a greater level of confidence that we can potentially expand it to some of our other markets.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned AM in Minneapolis, and it's no secret there's a lot of talk right now about AM. You also have an amazing AM radio station in Washington, D.C. What are your thoughts about what's going on in AM?
Well, we do have an AM station in Washington, D.C., but that programming is on the FM. So we're very concerned.
You're not 100%.
We're not 100% reliant on that.
Right.
And for our company, there's not a large amount of revenue to our company that comes on
the AM.
But we feel we're very committed to the AM sticking around, and I also chair the NAB's auto committee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, when you think about the whole country, there are a lot of areas that don't have FM service.
Right.
And it's really critically important to the country.
And that's based on the terrain of the the area.
Correct, because AM signals travel so much further than mm-hmm. FM. And so we're very involved and very engaged with trying to make sure that what's happening right now is just one small chapter in a very long, very long story. So,
obviously, we're going to be hearing a lot more about that topic.
Yes, I'm sure.
So, obviously, at the REB, we are focused on supporting stations such as yours in the revenue area. And we've had an initiative going that supports business categories from an educational standpoint. So instead of looking at, you know, business overall, it's categories of business. And, you know, from a corporate standpoint, are you seeing any specific business categories at Hubbard that are growing that maybe surprised you or
recruitment? But in terms
and
of,
you're seeing that across the board?
In across the board,
yeah.
We are. And in terms of actual industry sectors, I personally have not seen that, but doesn't mean it's not happening.
You know, we talk about, is your company accepting cannabis advertising?
No.
You're not? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. No, we're not. It's
not yet.
It's a corporate decision, and I've just really decided to steer clear of that, like we steered clear of vaping when vaping, you know, was a category.
Right.
And so I don't see that changing.
I totally understand that. You know, we continue to hear so much about the ways that broadcasters are dealing with disruption. Everything's being disrupted, and every industry is dealing with it. But can you share some of the key challenges that you think about within Hubbard that you're facing? And has it affected, you know, any of your processes or focus as an organization?
I think that it has. One of the biggest challenges is trying to figure out what to pay attention to and what's just noise. You know, what can make a meaningful difference to how we engage with our listeners, our communities, how we can better help our advertisers, our advertising partners. We We have been very active in the digital ad space for a number of years now, and that's approaching 30% of our overall business.
Wow.
Right now. That is run out of by Steve Goldstein out of our Cincinnati operation, mm-hmm. called 2060 Digital. So we've really tried to embrace things that we think can be helpful to our advertising partners and that have, you know, a long trajectory ahead of them. There is a lot of noise that is just noise. But by and large, we try and figure out what can help us extend our relationship with our audience, or what can we do to help our clients and our advertising partners grow their business. And if it doesn't hit one of those benchmarks, we try and follow it, certainly pay attention to it, but not put a lot of energy into it. Everybody is spread so thin, and everybody's attention is so fragmented, you know, that we kind of can't pursue everything. So, and, you know, we've been disrupted for about 100 years now, so the velocity may have changed. The velocity may have changed, but we were around long before television was a thing, long before satellite television was a thing, you know, long before satellite radio was a thing. So it's just the world is just going to continue to get more complicated, and we have to figure out how to navigate to the right place. We hope that we are.
And, you know, we hear so much about digital, and your company has really done such a great job, and you've been focused on it for a while. This isn't...
We have. Yeah, I don't know exactly how many years, but several years. We've been focused on it for several years.
So from an operational standpoint, on the revenue side, do you have a specific team of digital sellers, or is everyone integrated?
We've got a large hub of people in Cincinnati that support the teams in each of the local markets. And in each of the local markets, we have digital brand specialists.
Right.
That know digital products in and out, and in a way that a traditional radio seller never can. Because we really feel it's important that we serve the advertisers with real knowledge so that we can help them solve their problems. So we have employees of 2060 Digital,
right,
that are embedded in each of the markets, and they work shoulder to shoulder with the local marketing teams.
So you'll have a team, if you will, that leads a client, and they'll be a traditional seller, if you will,
yes,
along with a digital expert.
Yes, and not all of our 2060 clients are also radio clients.
I see.
We really try and craft solutions that are appropriate for the client.
Sure.
And what their needs are. And then we've got a separate part of that company where we've got, I think, six digital sellers in markets that we don't have radio stations. And they operate, you know, from their home or their car, and knocking on doors and meeting people, and that's a growing part of that business as well.
As I'm sure you are aware, when people hear the word Hubbard, it's there's always a smile. People refer to it so fondly, and that there's a culture within your organization that is very prominent in the industry. And why do you think that is?
Well, that's so nice to hear. Thank you, Erica. I don't have the perspective as an outsider. I just have the perspective of, we're a family that's committed to the industry, and we love the business. We think it's important to invest in our people, growing our people, and we're really laser-focused on the communities that we're in, because in eight large markets, you know, there's no chance that we're going to have a regional or a national play. So we have just really committed ourselves to doubling down on making sure that we're super serving our local communities. And
so live and local is very important to your organization.
Really important. Really, really, really important. Mm-hmm. So as for the culture, we've got just a spectacular team of leadership across the company, and they all are empowered to make their operations run in the way that they think is appropriate for their community. There's very little. I don't make many decisions.
I don't know about that.
all the local leaders that we have are empowered and expected to make decisions, programming decisions and management decisions that they think are most appropriate for their local market. So I think that helps.
It's unusual.
Well, like I say, I keep saying we're lucky. We're very lucky.
So with all this disruption, all this change at this rapid pace, how do you stay on top of everything? You know, what are the things that you read? What are, just how do you keep up?
I'm not sure that I do. I mean, we do have pockets of expertise within the organization. You know, people who are empowered to really know a lot of technical digital things that I'm not a technical person to begin with. You know, I read all the trades. You know, I watch TV. What do I keep up with? I listen to the team a lot. We talk right. a lot. And they bring things to the table often that I otherwise would never be familiar with. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just hanging on by my fingernails.
Oh, I doubt that. So when we think of Hubbard, you know, there have been some really strong broadcasters that have gotten out. There are some that, as we know, maybe for sale, I don't know. But what does the future of Hubbard look like right now? What do you think about?
I think about the next 100 years. Mm-hmm. And we don't spend a lot of time thinking about the past 100 years. We know it's our foundation, it's our legacy, it's kind of what we're building the rest of the house on. But I look at the next generation, fourth generation of Hubbards involved in various parts of the business, and how do we make sure that they have the same opportunity to operate and build and grow a business that throughout their lifetime.
Right.
So we spent a lot of time thinking about that next 100 years and what kind of platform do we want to turn over to them.
You know, you're involved in so many industry initiatives. You're very involved with the NAB. You've been really involved with the REB, and for that we are so grateful and thank you for your continued service, because we're not going to let you go.
No.
But what is, if you could think of one issue or one focus that if we could all collaborate and all be saying the same thing at the same time, is there one thing that stands out for you that you would like us as an industry to be thinking about? What would that be?
Well, I'm not sure if this is even an answer to your question. But the one thing that I think could really help to propel the industry in a very positive way would be not if we all necessarily spoke with the same voice, but if every radio brand in the country spent money marketing their product. I think that it used to be that you would drive around any town and you would see billboards for competing radio stations. You'd turn on the TV and you would see TV commercials promoting radio stations.
Bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers, yeah. Everything. We are not, as a collective, promoting the great programming that we have. Not just, I mean, on all the companies have great brands and provide great service to their local communities.
Right.
And as we know, millions and millions and millions of people listen. But there's so much competition for the attention of the consumer that we've allowed ourselves in aggregate to kind of be forgotten. And I personally don't think that advertising or marketing the industry per se would make a darn bit of difference, because I don't think consumers respond to agency or to industries.
Right.
They respond to brands. And whether it's a Hubbard brand or an Odyssey brand or an iHeart brand, I mean, you name the company. I think the industry would be much more robust, and some of our challenges would be solved if we would just simply invite people to listen to us, whether it's over the air, over a stream, or whatever way it may be. That's my biggest frustration.
I love that you say that, because we often have talked within the REB that here we are going to brands, asking them to promote their products and services
exactly.
on our airwaves, and yet we don't promote our our individual brands anymore the way we used to.
It makes no sense. And I know we are not immune to the economic challenges of, you know, the macroeconomic environment that we're in and the challenges that the industry has. But we have to tell our own story, and we have to do that on a brand basis so that we can, you know, reinforce those listeners that we do have, but also continue to invite bigger audiences and younger audiences to partake in what it is that we have to offer, because what we have to offer is spectacular.
Right.
And it's free. And it's free. So
free means something.
Free means something. It sure means a lot. It means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to many others.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, so we always like to ask this. Radio matters because?
Radio matters because it makes local communities better. It helps them thrive. It solves problems, not just for advertisers, but for human beings, for people. It's so gratifying to see all the great community work that is done in all of our markets, not just Hubbard markets, but all of our markets, and lives that are changed. And it's just, it's irreplaceable what happens in at the local level in terms of serving communities. So,
and radio works because?
A lot of the same reasons, because people listen, people are engaged, they're, you know, it's one of the things I've always loved about radio is how intimate a medium it is. It's so personal. And that direct connection between whatever's coming out of the speaker or the microphone into the ear and into the brain and the heart and the soul of the listener is, it's just so compelling. So compelling.
Well, before I let you go, because I know you are a busy person going in a lot of different directions, I want you to look at the crystal ball. With everything going on around us, what do you think the rest of the year is going to look like financially for us?
Oh, boy. I don't know. And I've never in my time in this business known such short-term visibility as being a challenge. You know, we used to kind of know 2 or 3 quarters out what's happening. First quarter started out gangbusters and didn't end up gangbusters. Yeah. Second quarter, you know, it's feeling a little stronger, at least in May and June. I don't know. I wish I knew. There's so much of that that we control and so much of that we just don't control. So
right.
We're cautiously optimistic that we don't fall into a deep recession. But, you know, if we do, we do. But we can't control it. We're just trying to do what we can with what we've got right now. So.
Jenny, thank you so much for sharing some time with us. We appreciate you, and we appreciate what you do and how you focus on the industry. So
well,
thank you.
Thank you, Erica. We all appreciate you and you and everybody at the RAB and all that you do to help lift up this industry and lead us. So thank you.
Staying on top of everything today is certainly a challenge for all of us. And as Jenny said, it's important to try to understand the difference between what to pay attention to and what is just noise. She shared that if every radio brand in the country could spend some money on marketing their brands, it would truly make a difference. We have to tell our story, and the industry would be much more robust if we simply invited people to listen to us.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.